Today on Real Radio.
He's made it this way, so that you might come to him as a child. Is there something going on in your life? Can't figure it out? That's a great opportunity for you to humble your heart and come to him like a little kid.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're in a mini-series taken from part of chapter 18 called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? And this text, containing some of Messiah's quotes, gives us further insight on how to do just that. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Doesn't Jesus go around touching lepers who you're not supposed to touch? Doesn't Jesus go around to women caught in the act of adultery and say, I don't condemn you? Now go and live like that no more. You're free. God's desire is to have a relationship with you where he can touch you. And you know what I love about our faith? It is better the way that he does it than if he showed up today on a throne and we passed by and we touched him or he touched us. I love the way that it is right now. Do I want the Lord to come back? Of course. When I die and go see him, it's going to be fantastic. There's no doubt about that. But you know what? I love the fact that for every one of us, just think for the thousands of people that attend this church, think of this. He's accessible to every one of us instantly at all times because he's touchable. Amen. He doesn't say, stay back. Oh, don't touch me. I'm Jesus. Don't you know that? No, he says, come to me. Doesn't he? Isn't he awesome? I love it. The Bible says in Psalm 8, verse 2, that from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise. God loves kids, and he loves the heart of a kid. And that heart of a kid does not need to leave us. We need to nurture that. It's very important. Jesus Christ, he wanted to touch them. And listen, he never changes. The Bible says the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The danger is for us changing, right? Listen, I hope you remember this. As you and I grow older, we have to be careful that we don't grow up. Does that make sense? Yeah. I mean, if you're honest with yourself, I mean, we all look older. And then on Sundays, we even look mature. But what's really going on the inside? I'm 51 years old. My wife will sometimes still say, why don't you grow up? I've tried that already. It doesn't work. I've tried. I look older. I look like I should. And this is the way our culture thinks. And then we translate that into our relationship with God. And we walk into the presence of the Lord and say, hello, Lord. How are you? And we sterilize the whole thing. If you think I'm building this up too much, I'll show you a real event. It's very cool. John chapter 20, mark it down. I love it. It's post-resurrection. Jesus has already been risen from the dead. John chapter 20, verse 25. It says, the other disciples therefore said to him, Thomas, we've seen the Lord. And so Thomas said, listen to this. Poor guy, he's all growed up. Listen. This is how grown-ups talk. Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. You say, well, Pastor Jack, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with it. But notice this. And after 8 days, the disciples were again together inside the house and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came, the doors being shut. That's creepy. Jesus didn't go through the door. He just goes through the wall. Somehow, beep. Hey. He stood in the midst of them and he said, peace to you. I bet they needed that peace. Calm down. Peace to you. And then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believe. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. You know what happened to Thomas over just a short period of time? Grew up. God says, trust my word. Believe in me. Second thing is this. How do we get from here to heaven? Well, we need to adopt a new approach. We need to have a new approach in the way that we come to God. And Jesus called them and said to them, let the little children come to me. The word let is strong. Get out of the way. And this is convicting. And by the way, the word them, it's a very, very technical word. The word them here in the Greek, it's masculine. So the scholars are divided on two areas. Number one, the them must mean the disciples because they're all men and the word is masculine. But there's other scholars who say, no. It's in line with the Jewish culture. Check it out. Hey, men, listen up. Fathers specifically, listen up. They argue that the word them is masculine, and it means that as it is in Judaism, as it is in what should be Judeo-Christian practice, it's the men, fathers, bringing their kids to Jesus. That's awesome. And Jesus is saying, don't hinder them. Disciples, don't you put a stumbling block, trip up, or discourage any man from bringing his child to me. And think about our culture that mocks God, attacks God, does everything it can to rob the hope from a child's heart that they can be forgiven. That they don't have to carry guilt. That if they're ever in a jam, they can call upon God. That when they look at science, boy, you heard a good example of that last week, huh? When they look at science, they can say, thank you, God. Look, I don't know if God was in this or not. It doesn't matter. I don't need to know because I'm trying to nurture the heart of a child. While I was laying around sick, got up, went to the sink to get something, I don't know, probably NyQuil or heroin. I don't know what I was taking. And a bird flew into the window. Boom. Oh. And I go out there and it's all mangled out. And I pick that thing up and it's those little American goldfinch. You ever seen how pretty? They got a little black hat on their head and their yellow body. And I just said, Lord, this is sad. And I'm just asking you, Jesus, if you'd heal this little thing. I was feeling kind of sensitive because I was sick. And I'm thinking, this guy's hurting worse than I am. And its eyes are closed. I mean, this is dead. And it was so amazing because I just, Lord, you know, I know it's no big deal, but it's pretty cool if you heal this little bird. And I set the bird on the chair in the sunlight. It's just kind of perfect there, you know. And went and laid back down. About an hour later, I went back out there and he's still there, just stuck. I'm convinced it's dead. Came back out there about another hour later. And that bird was sitting up there looking around and flew away. Now you say, well, that happens. But he was in shock and he got himself back together. He probably did. But my Bible says that a sparrow can't fall to the ground without my God knowing about it. And he cares. So you could say, Pastor, it's just the way things are. The way things are is because God's involved. Okay, so it depends on how you're going to choose to look at it. And I'd rather choose to look at it and approach it, seeing God in it. Especially now with what's going on in this world. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't caught on yet, the world's in a crisis. And this is the best it's going to be for a while. So we need to look to Him like never before. In the way that we come to God, so He says, let the little children come to me. And this is a wonderful thing because in that Jewish culture, it was that father that was to present that child before the Lord and to teach that child. And you know also that is in a home, think about this, you guys, in a home, God created the family. He said so in the Bible. When a man and a woman come together, the Bible calls that one flesh. And when they come together with the one flesh, in marriage, it says, out comes a baby. That's what happens. And you have a family. And have you noticed a family, when, for example, because I used to be one, a little boy. When you're a little boy, your dad, there is no God that sits in the thrones in heaven above. It's your dad. Do you know what I'm talking about? Your dad is king. You say, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, you know. You do too. Because remember when we were little, we'd walk around, we'd say to our friends, hey, I saw your dad the other day. Oh yeah, I saw your dad too. Oh yeah. I bet my dad can run faster than your dad. Well, that's nothing. I bet my dad can beat up your dad. One kid said, that's nothing. My mama can beat up my dad. Why do we do this? Where does that come from? Because when you're a little tiny kid, God's established the family like a model. And when that little kid looks at the dad, it's like looking at God. What dad says, that's it. And some of you might say, well, that's terrible. Not if you're growing up right. Not if you're being raised right according to the word. That kid knows that dad will spank me when I mess up. Why? Because he loves me. So don't mess up. What happens when I mess up? He'll spank me. Does he throw you out of the family? Does he pack up your little Tonka trucks and your Legos and put them out on the porch and throw you out? No. But I know I'm in trouble when I mess up. And then what about mom? Oh, mom. Mom's the one I run to when I'm after I'm done getting in trouble. I run to mom. Mom comforts me. Did you know that a Hebrew mom, when she gives birth to that little baby, and that little baby comes out, and she holds that baby to her breast, and she waits until that baby starts to nurse. And as soon as that mother discerns, the baby is taking milk now. The baby is taking milk. The moment that happens, the Hebrew mom, she says, the Lord, he is God. In the ear of the baby, the Lord, he is God. Can you imagine growing up like that? Think about that. The heartbeat of your mom, the warmth of your mother, the comfort of that place, her voice speaking to you, the nutrients, the strength, the tummy being filled up. Have you noticed when babies nurse, they fall asleep? How awesome is that? They're so content, and they, from start to finish, they are hungry. They hear that the Lord, he is God, until they fade away in sleep in contentment. And that's how a little Jew is brought up, to trust in him, to look to him. Boy, I tell you, our modern day church era, we have blown it in this area. We expect to have godly kids. We send them off to ungodly schools and they come back little who know whats, and we're wondering, well, how did this happen? No, the Bible expects the parents, especially the dad, to lead the way. Dad, lead the way. Teach your kids about God. Do it. Well, I don't know. Just do it. But I don't. Do it. Also this, the way that we need to have a new approach is in the way that we look at others. Jesus says, verse 16, do not forbid them. Don't put a stumbling block regarding children coming to me. I'm not going to belabor this. I'll just make this comment. Remember, from the very beginning, when this church started with six people in the living room of the house, it was always our statement, never turn away kids. We can never turn away kids. We had several homes going on in Chino Hills for our services. I know that Lisa and I, our bedroom was the nursery, our backyard. We had Coleman tents set up for various classes. Mark and Mary's house was an awesome sanctuary. We had TVs running to other bedrooms where people would come, strangers would come to a home fellowship and sit in a bedroom with strangers and watch a service on TV that was only 6 feet away from them through the wall. How weird is that? All this stuff going on, and always, we can never turn away kids. And now we got so many kids coming, and the rule is can't turn kids away. And the fire department's saying, can't put any more kids in that room. Okay. But we have this whole East Wing building over here that's not built out yet. And so we need like $1.5 million to build the whole inside of it out. And I keep saying, God, you've got a huge problem. It is God's problem though, isn't it? You want to know why it's God's problem? Because he created it. All right. And the truth is, I didn't do this. He did it. So it's his problem. So I'm saying, come on, Lord, just bring it down. You can do it. And he's going to do it. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he'll do it. And you say, well, Jack, that's ridiculous. So do you have a plan? Do you have a plan? The bank asked us, you know, do you have a 10-year plan? I honestly said to the bank, yes, we do. And they said, we'd like to know your 10-year plan. And I said, we hope the rapture happens today. That's what I said. It's a good thing it was a Christian bank we were talking to, huh? But that was years ago regarding this thing. But it's amazing. Don't forbid them. We cannot forbid them. And as a parent, whatever you do, do not hinder your children from coming. And at the same time, make sure you're not hindering your own heart from becoming like a child. And then also this, our view of heaven. Verse 16, Jesus is for of such is the kingdom of God. What does he mean by that? Our view of heaven. Church, family, listen, we need to have a new approach in the way that we view heaven. Heaven is not, he is not saying there's going to be a bunch of little kids walking around heaven and that's it. He's talking about your heart. Your heart toward him, your heart toward heaven, for of such is the kingdom of God. Anybody strutting around is probably pretty far from being this childlike heart. Anybody who is so impressed with themselves and really, really comes to you and says, you know, you really need to listen to what I have to say to you, is probably very far from a childlike heart. Very dangerous. Jesus said to watch out for such things. Third and final point, we'll end with this very quickly. It's verse 17. How do we get from here to heaven? Well, we need to make a change of course. And this is a strong word. Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, here it is, will by no means. We would say today, ain't no way that you're going to enter in. Strong statement. I'm going to give you three reasons why, and we end with this. Number one, you know what? It's because we've become our maker. We in our culture, we'll do it. We'll take care of it. And we've relegated God out of our lives. But we go to church on Sunday. Watch out. We are exchanging relationship for religion. We think we become the maker. Listen, a little child does not think that they made themselves. They understand. A little kid understands. They're not the maker. And then what about the authority? Secondly is the authority. You've never seen a little kid walking around with his diapers in a place of authority. I mean, how weird is that? In fact, isn't it weird when you see a little kid that's starting to grow up, they begin to get bullyish? And you, there's something wrong with this picture. This little kid, something's wrong. He's being a bully. Not good. And then verse 17, when he says, will by no means, here's the great thing, we end here. We need to make a change of course because, listen, we've got to guard against growing up. In Matthew 18, 1, Jesus said, at that time, the disciples came to him and said, listen to this. Now, this is right before he gets arrested, right before he gets beaten and crucified. The disciples come to Jesus and they said, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I mean, which one of us? Can you just tell us now? The suspense is killing us, Jesus. We really need to know. Who's going to be the top dog in heaven? And look what Jesus did. Matthew 18, 2. Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst. By the way, I love the little fact that there's a little kid near Jesus. And said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, this is how you're going to get to heaven. Is your heart believing? Or do you have to figure everything out? We all love to figure everything out. But listen to this. God is so awesome and faith so important. You need to hear this. There are things in your life that God will see to it that you can never figure out. He's made it this way so that you might come to him as a child. Is there something going on in your life? Can't figure it out? That's a great opportunity for you to humble your heart and come to him like a little kid.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? It's actually a mini-series taken from a section in Luke's New Testament account, chapter 18, part of our teacher's greater verse-by-verse journey through this eyewitness narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, a reminder of what we're currently offering here on Real Radio, Pastor Jack's DVD series, Saints, Sex, and Sinners. Now, it's no secret that we live in quite the sexually charged age. Sexual immorality in its various forms is actually praised and celebrated. But what about the church? Certainly things must be different in the professing church, right? Well, these and other issues are dealt with in this DVD series from the scriptural worldview. In fact, here's Pastor Jack to tell us more about this series. Pastor Jack?
Well, Mike, thank you. And the series that you're referring to is entitled Saints, Sex, and Sinners. And no doubt by now I've got everyone's attention when I mention the word sex. And what has happened here at church is a study has gone forth in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 regarding a problem that was existing at the church 2,000 years ago. And I would say that it's a problem that churches and Christians struggle with today. And this is the area of sexual immorality. And let me tell you, Paul pulled no punches when he delivered his critique and his assessment, and then finally his judgment on what to do with those who are in the church who are willfully committing sexual immorality. In Paul's address to the Corinthians, he even goes after the rebuking of and admonishing the church leadership. Because what happened back in Corinth 2,000 years ago is that they had these sins going on in the church, but the leadership didn't do a thing about it. They didn't confront it. They didn't deal with it. And what happens is that they wound up labeling it graciousness and loving and tolerant. And all the while, they were destroying the witness of the church at Corinth. Boy, you know, if I remove the word Corinth, it sounds like some ministry that you might be thinking about today. Well, for all these reasons and more, we want to make available to you what we're studying right here at church, and that is the book of Corinthians and this three-part series of Saints, Sex, and Sinners. How should leadership deal with sexual immorality among the saints? What does the Bible say regarding church discipline? And how should all of us walk in the fear of the Lord when it comes to how to conduct ourselves in the house of God? And so I encourage all of you to get a copy of this series, and I think it will strengthen your walk. It will certainly generate conversation. And Mike, you can tell the people how they can obtain their own copy.
Yes, indeed. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send you the DVD series Saints, Sex, and Sinners. You can call, click, or write if you prefer. Pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. And you'll know just what to do. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.